Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
All right, let's bring him in, Connor Rogers, Bleacher Report and Stick to Football podcast. Connor, well, I thought we were going to really have a long time today. Obviously, the news of the Nets kind of keeps us from having a long conversation, but I did want to talk to you. How are you, buddy?
Good, Dave. Listen, fired coaches in New York sports is a common tradition, so no worries at all.
Yes, it's like the Masters, the tradition that is like no other. All right, so let's get to that. So the reason that I was thinking about talking to you is this Trent Williams situation is interesting to me. Obviously, they've said that he can kind of explore a trade. The Nets, the Jets are desperate to improve their offensive line. Does it have all signs pointing to that this might be a good marriage in your eyes?
It might be. I think the biggest problem right now, Dave, is that, and this is a good thing, every team gets to talk to the agent first. The Redskins have given that permission to the agent. So what happens is when the teams call, before they even offer the compensation, they need to figure out what the contract extension is going to look like, because that significantly puts a dent in the compensation, where if Trent Williams was willing to play on a 1 or 2 year deal, the Redskins might have been able to bring back a late first round pick. But when you come in and you hear things that, you know, he understandably wants $20 million a year, he wants to be the highest paid tackle in the league, otherwise he's not going to come back, that puts the compensation in the second round range, maybe even a package of middle round picks is what we're looking at, if he truly is demanding that kind of contract. But for the Jets, they have cap space.
Right.
They actually have an extra third round pick. It does make a little sense for Joe Douglas to be aggressive here.
Do you expect either a Williams or a Jack Conklin to be on the Jets by the start of the season?
I do. I know that, you know, if they can't get a trade done here, and maybe they do both, but they're going to come out in free agency and at least try to offer Jack Conklin the most money. That's the most important thing. Now, he's, you know, with Rosenhaus Sports, which they'll usually send the client wherever the most money is. Now, the Jets are going to have to overpay because of this, you know, tumultuous situation they've built with Adam Gase and just, you know, the stability or lack thereof of the franchise.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if you're Jack Conklin, he's a guy that's been a little banged up. The team didn't even pick up the fifth-year option because of that. He wants at least that 4 to 5 year deal with at least 3 years guaranteed. And I've heard all signs point to the Jets offering that. So, and he plays right tackle. So I don't think they have the cap space and assets for both. But if they truly, truly want to stick by their guns and improve this offensive line, they actually could do both.
Don't you have to, like, don't you anticipate either via the draft or free agency the Jets have a new left and right tackle when the season starts up?
Oh, you absolutely have to. I mean, you're not going to throw Chuma Adoga out there as a starter again.
You
got
can't.
Sam Darnold killed. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I was just looking at this team, Dave, besides quarterback, which is just Sanchez and Darnold, they have not used a first-round pick on an offensive player since 2008. It's 2020. I mean, that's how you find yourselves in these
Hang
situations.
Hang on, let me digest this for a second. The Jets have not used a outside of Darnold and who?
Mark Sanchez.
And Sanchez. So the two quarterbacks. Other than that, they have not used a first-round pick on an offensive player.
Nope, and it was Dustin Keller, so they traded back into the end of the first round for that one. So the real one is 2006 with DeBrickashaw Ferguson, and that was like, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, 14 years ago. That really is unbelievable. It really is. But you absolutely envision a completely revamped offensive line, right? Because I think that's the key, is you have the quarterback, you believe in him. I don't think it's a fair assessment of what he's been able or not been able to do just because the offensive line, Connor, has been so bad.
Without a doubt, and you look at this with Darnold, it goes back to his college career with USC where, once again, he had no stability at the coaching staff or the offensive line positions, and it's kind of funny that they drafted one of those guys in Chuma Adoga now, who's also starting for him in the NFL level. Yeah, they have to completely revamp this unit. The understanding on my end of things is the only original faces that they expect to be back, they're going to try to re-sign Alex Lewis, who is a guy Joe Douglas traded for from Baltimore, a place he's very familiar with, to come back at left guard. And depending how the draft goes, they might have to start Jonathan Harrison again at center or guard, who was actually really almost an average player, which is saying a lot compared to how bad the Jets' offensive line was last year. So, yeah, they're looking at hopefully two new tackles and maybe even addition on the interior, whether it's day two of the draft or, once again, free agency, a guy like Graham Glasgow from Detroit who's had a solid career so far.
Connor Rogers, Bleacher Report, Stick to Football podcast, joining us here, 98.7 ESPN. So is it all offense? Like, is it line? Is it receiver? I would think that defensively they're in pretty good standing. You get back a couple linebackers, you know, Mosley and Williamson that weren't there for the bulk of last year. The defense looks pretty good. I would think that this offseason has to almost entirely be, we've got to fix the offense here, right?
I think that takes priority. Now, I'll say this. Greg Williams got a lot out of second, third string, and even street free agent signings last year. So I'm sure he's banging the table for a little bit of help. I know they're going to at least make calls on the corner market, whether it's James Bradbury, Byron Jones. I don't see them getting those done. I actually think the New York Giants will be the team that can get Byron Jones if they're willing to go to that dollar. And he's a great addition for anyone. So they're going to look at the cornerback market. They've actively looked at the corners through the draft, and maybe that'll be, you know, really a third round or second round kind of look. They do need edge pass rush help. Jordan Jenkins is set to hit free agency. So they do have a lot of holes on defense, but ironically, the defensive staff they have in place can get them by with average players, especially the addition of C.J. Mosley returning. So the offensive line, receiver, including trying to get Robbie Anderson back, that's what takes priority for the New York Jets and Joe Douglas this offseason.
I'm not going to hold you to it, but we sit here on what, March the 7th. Do you expect Robbie Anderson to be back?
I think it's turned into 50-50, which is a big improvement from what it was. I heard when things ended at the end of the season, it was more 20-80. It looked like he was going to hit free agency. I think two things have played a factor into this. I think one, with the new CBA agreement, the cap is expected to increase so dramatically that the Jets figure, hey, he's been, you know, Darnold's best target. We can fit that cap number up. If he's willing to take a deal in the $10 million range, we can fit that with the spike in the cap. And I think, obviously, he had a really good, strong finish to the season. What I had heard at the end of the year was they were going to lowball him. A lot of people expected teams like Oakland and Philadelphia to come out in free agency and hit his $13 million over four-year number. I don't know if that's going to happen because this draft class is so strong right now that a lot of teams are comfortable with just drafting a rookie and having them play for cheap on that kind of deal. So I think it's turned into 50-50, which, if you're a Jets fan, that's actually a good sign. That's improvement.
Last one for me, and I didn't expect that we would have to talk about this today, and that's Quinnen Williams. I'm not even going to ask you what he's thinking because I can't imagine that you would have the answer there. But what do you think happens here? You think he is suspended by the league and does wind up missing a couple games this season?
I think maybe a game. My understanding right now, the last time I heard about this, is that it's going to be a fine because they came back and reported that it was not a loaded gun or there was not ammunition found, which makes it a huge difference. I mean, you could talk about, if you have a loaded gun on a plane in New York, you could talk about actual jail time. That's how significant that is, and that's just how poorly, you know, the lack of awareness here from Quinnen Williams. So the fact that the latest report is there was not ammunition means it could just be a fine, depending how the league views it. I mean, keep in mind this is a guy with no previous trouble. Maybe they don't give him any time. So I don't think it'll be as significant, but wow, talk about a really mindless decision, which is unfortunate for Quinnen Williams and the Jets.
All right, listen, we really appreciate a couple minutes, Connor. Thanks for pushing back from 10 to 10:15. You know, I think you do a terrific job, and we will talk to you, man, as we get closer to the draft. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Dave. Always great talking to you. Have a good weekend.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.